It's a shocking statistic, and a few of the things I'm going to read. I mean, this is one of those things that I feel like it's a little disturbing to hear, and it's a little bit frightening to hear some of these things. But if we don't have these conversations, then these sorts of problems will never get solved. So Noelle Viard is joining us now. She is from, I always want to make sure I get it right, Sail of Freedom, right?
Yes.
I get it all that right, which is a nationwide organization that helps survivors of child sex trafficking, or sex trafficking of women and young boys too.
Yes.
So let me read some facts for you here, because this stuff is incredible. So 300,000 American children are at risk for being sex trafficked every year. Chicago is in the top 5 cities in the nation for sex trafficking. Children in every neighborhood and every zip code in our area and through the nation are bought and sold, with the average age of entry into the so-called life being just 12 to 14 years old. And this is crazy. Once in this life, they can be sold 15 to 40 times every 24 hours. Am I reading that right?
You are. It's a shocking stat that kind of shakes us to our core, because we can't even imagine that concept.
Yes.
Many, you know, that many times in one day a child can be sold for sex.
Mm-hmm. So, again, this is a difficult conversation to have, but an important one. So my first question is when we think about sex trafficking, I think we think of what we maybe seen in movies, or yeah, we've heard or seen about in third world countries, reports of girls being shackled in the backs of trucks and kidnapped away from their families. And then when you read the numbers, you're like, there's no way that 300,000 kids are experiencing that fate. And the reality is that sex trafficking, while that does happen, those extreme sorts of cases, it's not always quite as... it's all horrific. I don't know how else to say it. It's not that scenario necessarily.
It's not so far outside of our own normal world, right? So I think that's part of the great misconception, is that it's easy to identify this when we're looking outside of our own, you know, world, our daily life. Mm-hmm. When we get up, we go to work, we drive our kids to school, etc. But once we realize that this issue hits a lot closer to home, we have to start looking at the signs a bit more closely. And, you know, that number that you referenced, that 300,000 American youth being at risk for trafficking, that number actually correlates really closely to the number of runaways in our country. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is that the issue of sex trafficking is so closely tied to the issue of childhood sexual abuse in our country, that these kids are growing up in these abusive environments. Suddenly, you know, they're hitting that age, 11, 12 years old, puberty is hitting, you know, they're suddenly realizing, I don't have to put up with this in my home environment. Many times they're running outside of that home to essentially escape what is a challenging situation, but they're running straight into the arms of a predator, straight into the arms of a trafficker, someone who knows what to identify, what to look for, and is essentially able to exploit those vulnerabilities.
Now, you said that it, you know, close to home, you have to really see, look for those signs. What are those signs of a child that would be in trouble?
You know, the biggest sign, the biggest red flag that we talk about at Sail of Freedom is the issue of childhood sexual abuse. And, you know, you can't exactly, if you're looking in a classroom, you can't look across a room and say, I know, blah, 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 you know, these, you know, these specific children. But we want to start having that conversation and asking people to ask a deeper question. You know, when a child is truant from class over and over and over again, when they're experiencing signs of abuse in the home, when their stories don't line up with what, you know, they said the day before, we want to start asking these questions of not just writing someone off as a child that has issues or, you know, problems, but somebody who is experiencing a situation at home that needs help. You know, and one of my favorite quotes from our CEO, Elizabeth Fisher, is that there's no such thing as a seventh grade slut. You know, like, we talk about these girls that we might write off as promiscuous, but truly there's another layer going on.
So what questions do you ask? I mean, like, so you notice someone is missing from class, if you're an educator, if you're in that world, or you notice one of the other signs that we might chat about. I mean, where do you go? Where do you even start to have that conversation? Is it trying to talk to that person's parents? But that person, the parent might be the predator or something along those lines. You don't,
right?
I don't know where we'd even go to help that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one of our initiatives at Sail of Freedom is that we're working really hard in the prevention space. You know, one of the biggest things that we work on is these residential homes for survivors of trafficking, girls who are out of the life. But one of the biggest needs is talking to youth when they're young in schools. And what we're kind of asking is saying, hey, do you actually know, you know, what this healthy relation looks like? Do you know that abuse is not and should not be the norm? And helping kids to recognize that they have a voice in it, and that if they're experiencing something at home, that there's a place for them to go. And so those questions often look like, you know, how are you doing? And mm-hmm. creating a safe space for that question to be answered.
Yeah, because do a lot of victims know that they are being sexually trafficked?
No. And that's actually one of the biggest, you know, surprises that I experienced beginning to work in this field, is that most victims do not self-identify as victims of sex trafficking. These are girls who think they're living this great life, they're experiencing all this freedom, they're, you know, they're in their mind the best of the best, until they experience, you know, something that they can't escape from, that they can't, you know, a pattern of life that they cannot get out of without help. And so we see that turn very quickly from something where these girls feel empowered and like, I'm making this money, until they realize that they're not walking home with the cash at the end of the night. Someone else is.
Do you see this? Is there a certain part of the country or certain situations in a country, in our country, that you see it happen more? Big cities, little cities, smaller cities?
You know, the issue of sex trafficking is actually occurring in every zip code in the U.S. When I do trainings on this, we look at a great big map of the United States, and it has the red highlight tones where it's, you know, super intense.
Right.
The only places where trafficking is not occurring is where there are no people. So I want to say, you know. But definitely the larger cities attract a higher percentage of this. The more people there are, the higher the demand. You know, when we're talking about this issue, a lot of the focus gets put on these girls who are victims, these girls who are survivors. But the only reason this issue is perpetuated is because there is a demand for it. And the demand is happening across the board in rural areas, but it's definitely concentrated in areas of higher population.
You mentioned that some of these girls might think they're living like this great life. Is part of it because, again, I think the conception is that at some the sex trafficker is this evil man who the person that's being trafficked hates and despises. But I imagine that a lot of predators, like we see with sexual assaults and sexual abuse, come from people that you trust, and that they put you in comfortable situations so that you think that you're in this very positive relationship with someone, when in reality, obviously, especially for younger girls, they're being completely manipulated.
Yeah, you know, what we see kind of repetitively throughout all these stories is that many times these girls are lured in by someone who claims to be for them. Like, they're their champion. They love them. They care about them. They're the solution, the way out to a hard situation. And we call that a Romeo pimp. So someone who's willing to woo that person in, but very quickly that person can turn into more like a gorilla pimp, somebody who uses violence to maintain a level of control.
How do people find let's say it's the case of a runaway. Is there a pimp roaming the streets? Or seems like such a strange question. How do these two people
right? How do these
up?
Two people seemingly who would never align, end up meeting each other and being like, great, this is a great situation.
Right.
You know, currently, and also I would say back in the day, you know, these guys hang out at malls, know how to scan a crowd, look for the girl who's, it's that, you know, detailed, it's that pointed. I would say the biggest factor right now actually is social media and internet use. Most of the time when a girl runs away from home, she's running straight into the arms of someone else. We had a family, close friends with someone who worked in our organization, so one tier away from knowing about the issue of sex trafficking. And, you know, a young girl essentially was on an online relationship with, you know, a gentleman who was not so gentlemanly.
Right.
And, you know, essentially was like, you know, she was frustrated with her mom, and he's like, you know what? We should just run away. And that was when, for her, this red light went off, and she realized, this is way bigger than me. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I thought this was about. But unfortunately, some girls don't have that red light that goes off. And so they end up taking that next step.
I wonder also if the reason why the case numbers are so high, I mean, it must be profitable. I mean, like, there must be the motivation is obviously there's psychological motivations, I'm sure, to hold someone captive exactly. in that way. But then there's also the financial. I mean, there's got to be a reason why people do it.
This industry, so to speak, is motivated by one thing, and it is money. It is absolutely an extremely lucrative business. The numbers internationally are that it's a $52 billion industry and that it's second only to trafficking drugs. Wow. And that's set to change in the next 10 years or so, because you can sell drugs once and then they're gone, but you can sell a girl over and over and over again.
All right, so we're going to break this down some more, and I want to hear about what Sail of Freedom does in general, and also you guys have a big event coming up this weekend,
yes.
So we're going to tease that in just a little. We're going to talk about it. Plenty more coming up on 720 WGN. Thank you, Esmeralda. We're talking about a very serious topic about child sex trafficking across the Chicagoland area and what Sail of Freedom does to help survivors, really, of this. And really, I consider them survivors, warriors, people that have been through some horrific situations. So, Noelle Villard, tell us what you guys do at Sail of Freedom.
Yeah, so Sail of Freedom works to end trafficking by bringing light to the darkness of trafficking, but also freedom to survivors. Essentially, that breaks down to we want to help spread the word that this is an issue. We want to bring education to the topic so that people are not, you know, jumping at shadows, but feel educated and empowered to make change. And then we're also providing services to survivors of trafficking. One of our biggest programs is that we provide residential housing to survivors. It's about a year to 18 long, year to 18 month long mm-hmm. program where these girls get to come in and have all of their, you know, needs met, from immediate needs, health services, mm-hmm. trauma treatment, and, you know, education services, job placement, etc.
How important is it to have a place to live 24/7 after someone's gone through an ordeal like this?
It is without doubt the biggest need in terms of recovery for survivors of trafficking. Some of the girls who have walked into our program have never had their own bed before. I mean, it's extremely shocking to look at these girls, you know, down the road when they're graduating this program and to realize what they've come from. And sometimes it just takes a home to be able to walk them through that process.
Yeah, because I imagine without that home, without that foundation and shelter, it must, I mean, like we've talked about, it's not too hard to imagine someone going back into that lifestyle pretty quickly. That seems crazy. You'd think, why would someone do that? But you would find someone that can help take care of you. I mean, we all seek out our basic needs.
Yeah. Exactly. And anytime you have somebody who's experienced such intense levels of trauma, there is a pull back into that life that they know, that's familiar, because it feels controllable. It feels manageable. Taking these girls out of that environment and setting them in a place. And I mean, these homes are beautiful. These homes are, they've been donated to our organization, completely renovated by volunteers. I walk in and I, you know, feel like, I could live here.
It's
this
a nice
is gorgeous.
Place, right.
You know, and we say that, you know, atmosphere elevates. We want to let these girls know they're valued, they're worth everything, and that they have such a future.
Obviously, these homes cost money. You get obviously donations, but the renovations and all those sorts
Absolutely.
Of things.
Absolutely.
And the more beds that we can get for these girls and young women, these survivors, the better off we're going to be. There's always going to be a need, no matter
right.
how many beds you have. But let's get as many as we can. That's going to take some funding. So you guys are having a big event now, technically tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Sunday.
Yes, exactly. I was thinking 2 days, but nope. We're down at the 1 day count.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're having one of our biggest events of the year here in Chicago. It's called Rock the Boat Against Sex Trafficking. It's an afternoon on a yacht on the Anita D2 at DuSable Harbor. This is just going to be an incredible afternoon. We're going to have some live music. John Vincent, who's the anthem singer for the Chicago Cubs, is going to be joining us, among others. And we're looking to raise funds to help these programs continue and open our second residential home in this area.
Is it people got to buy tickets ahead of time? How does that work?
Yeah, so our tickets are sold online. If you show up, we may still sell you a ticket. But you can find all the event info on our website at sailoffreedom.com/events. And there's a registration link on that page.
And I imagine... Oh, go ahead, Esmeralda.
No, I was just going to say, if you can't make it to the event, is there other ways to donate,
I would
volunteering?
I would suggest for everyone to check us out on our website, but also check us out on Facebook. We post lots of ways that people can get involved. We have a ton of volunteer opportunities. And then there's also lists of needs online for people to help donate towards and help these girls essentially get, you know, education and all the different ways that they need help. So.
It's Selah freedom, and Selah, it's a Hebrew word, right?
It is. It means to pause, rest, and reflect. And essentially that's like our recipe for recovery and for taking just the next small step in going after something bigger and better.
Noel, thank you so much for your time today, okay?
Thank you.
Quick commercial break and plenty more on 720 WGN. Okay, deep breath, Esmeralda. That was an important subject. I think we were talking with Noel between. I feel like some people might be afraid to talk about stuff like that.
Right, but it's something that needs to be addressed, and it's, I mean, what they're doing is amazing.
Right.
Because, I mean, somebody needs to step in and take care of these girls.
Yeah, I just, when people say sex traffic, I think we're just so Puritan and are like, oh, I don't want to hear, I don't want to know, hear no evil, right. See no evil.
Or, oh, it's such a shame. Okay,
yeah,
bye.
Exactly. The shame is on us for not listening and not talking about that stuff. So, Selah Freedom, again, if you can make their event tomorrow, that'd be great. Or if you can donate or volunteer, that'd be wonderful too. Okay, it is 4:31, which means it is time for Roger Badish in the news.